All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, Hoop Ball Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more. Check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter now. Check it out. Give us a follow. Get your tools and win your league.
The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Welcome back, Hoopballers, after a four-month hiatus, back on the air with David Bracey. This is Hank Aaron. David, how are you doing?
Hank, I am doing well, my man. How are you? Glad to be back in the saddle.
Doing well. Yeah, our last podcast was the night before the NBA shutdown.
Little did we know, yeah. It was the night before shutdown.
It just seemed normal, but the next day, it's funny because, it's not funny, I guess, but the shutdown of the NBA is the first official day of coronavirus. And that to me was when, okay.
Same here.
It is now officially started. And so that to me, it's like it's that night, that last podcast was the last night before coronavirus, even though obviously it was spreading and going around. But we're back now, and we got a lot going on with the bubble. The scrimmage is ready to get going tomorrow night, so things are about to get underway.
Yeah, very, very excited. We got scrimmages this week. We're about 8 days out from games. I'm really, really excited to get this get the ball rolling.
Yep. I think for most fantasy players, the seasons, at least their season-long settings, most leagues kind of close things down, understandably. So probably most people are out of year-long settings at this point. But a lot of people now are switching over to daily or special formats made for the bubble. Are you participating in any kind of leagues right now?
Unfortunately, all the leagues that I were in right now, we are kind of on a hiatus, if you will. I'm hoping there'll be some sort of reconfiguration here because I'm definitely itching to make a little money if I can. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
What about you?
Yeah, same thing. It's every league is either officially shut down for the season. I'm in two leagues that are trying to figure something out, and we'll see. Probably just end up being a bunch of daily fantasy games between us. I think that's going to be the only, quick and easy resolution to this.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Only way to itch the scratch.
That's right. I got to. Exactly. I got a Basketball Jones.
Yep.
Yeah, so, in regards to, I guess, the bubble, we'll just kind of dive right into it. So, fortunately, some news broke this week. Since the 13th of July, looks like they tested around 346 players. So far, zero positive tests returned from those players in the bubble. So that's a really, really strong sign, especially in comparison to, for example, Major League Soccer, who was also there in Florida, kind of isolated in their own, insulated, I should say, in their own bubble, who did not have the same kind of luck and had some positive cases. So we hope that the NBA can, kind of maintain that momentum and start off the season strong and carrying the playoffs as well. Because I know everybody's really, really glad to have the games back. And like you said, we got scrimmages this week. So definitely excited to see guys out there, see what they look like, see what teams look like. Because for most of us, we haven't seen these guys since March. It's been a while. And for a lot of these teams, they're going to look very different than they did before. So very, very curious to see what everything's looking like. What are you looking forward to most kind of out of these scrimmages? Is there anything you're paying close attention to?
Well, like you said, I'm very happy that they had zero positive tests. I think that's a big sigh of relief, and I think that gives us a lot of hope that this thing may work out. I wasn't so optimistic on this a few weeks ago, and now I think that test result really allows us to have a sigh of relief. I'll be interested to see, you know, how the guys look. Obviously, there's going to be some rust with players. But just to see who's back, if any of the guys who were hurt when the season was ending, guys like Simmons, are they back? Are they healthy? Obviously, he's in a new position as well. So I think he's actually probably the most interesting guy to keep your eye on when he comes back, to see what happens with him. And, you know, he's got this position switch and the injury question. So we'll see anyone else who was, you know, maybe hobbled before, how well they look now. I think the Portland's got a couple guys coming back. Nurkic will be back. We'll see how he looks. I don't think that's going to be a huge story as far as the championship chase goes, but, you know, it's interesting to me.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I like your point on Portland because, yeah, while, you know, Nurkic and Collins aren't necessarily big names who you immediately think of title contention, you know, with them being back on a roster, but it is curious to think about how they would match up against the Lakers, potentially in an early round matchup, with those big bodies to throw at Anthony Davis to clog up the lane for LeBron James. So something to pay close attention to kind of as these teams return to form. And in regards to, you know, these players kind of shaking off the rust, I'm very curious to see what the rust looks like for these guys who were not only, you know, late to the bubble, but for the guys who actually did test positive for coronavirus. You know, guys like Malcolm Brogdon, like Nikola Jokic. I mean, Jokic has been looking great from what we have heard out of the bubble and what we have seen. It looks like he's, you know, really, really toned himself out and, you know, kind of rejuvenated himself in this brief hiatus. So hopefully that converts over and you see that in his play on the court. Because, I mean, obviously for his fantasy numbers, think about a more athletic, nimble Jokic. I mean, the guy was already doing numbers. I mean, could you ask for much more? I don't really think you could. So very curious to see what that looks like for guys like that. Curious to see if Oladipo ends up participating. Talk about a guy who's coming off of an injury, had a lot of time to rehab. We saw him very briefly before the NBA did kind of, you know, close out play. And there was kind of some questions around whether or not he was even going to go to the bubble. And then he's going to the bubble and there's questions about whether or not he's going to play. So a lot of questions for a lot of teams right now, especially with their rosters. So definitely a lot to pay attention to.
Yeah, I think Bledsoe is, I mean, they say he's asymptomatic, so, you know, he should be fine. But he's kind of the biggest issue on a title contender, unless you consider Denver a title contender. But Jokic has, you know, apparently been fine the whole time as well. So, you know, the players who are there who are asymptomatic, you expect them to kind of bounce back and be fine. But it will be nice to just confirm that when we see them on the court.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the guys who have been asymptomatic, I think it'll definitely be curious to see what the impact is on their game, as opposed to guys who we know definitely did have symptoms, not necessarily severe ones, but did have at least somewhat serious to mild symptoms, like Rudy Gobert, still saying that he struggles to have, you know, any sense of smell or taste still. And we're, I mean, months out from his initial positive test in March. So very curious to see kind of what that looks like. And in that same regard, curious to see how teams kind of manage their rosters. You know, are the title contenders going to be quick to ramp up basketball activity in these early eight games heading into the playoffs, or are they going to slowly work their guys back up? You know, because a lot of the conversation has kind of been around what these teams are going to look like as we resume. I don't think we'll necessarily have a great idea for what these teams really look like until the games are about over. I mean, I think it's going to take 4 or 5 games for these teams to really kind of figure out what they're doing out there. So curious to see, do you have an opinion? What do you think? If you're an NBA coach on a title contender, if you're the Lakers, are you ramping your guys up early, first 3 games, or are you rest and slowly working guys in, letting AD and LeBron really peak out in the last 6, 7, 8 games there?
Yeah, I'm probably resting them. I mean, obviously it's player dependent. If LeBron tells me, you know, hey, I don't need more than 6 games to get ready, and I'd rather not risk the injury, and I'd rather, you know, play 3, take a game off or whatever. I'm listening to the players, whatever they need to get into the best shape. But I don't think there's any, you know, need for the coaches to push their guys at this point, because the playoff spots are going to be locked up for most of the teams. So really it's player dependent and how they feel and what's best for them.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, guys are going to be vocal about, you know, what they're comfortable with and what they're not, because they have been thus far very vocal. So, I mean, and you definitely love to see that. And without getting too political, I mean, you definitely love the vocality of a lot of these NBA guys and their advocation for these social right messages or social justice messages. And, you know, just kind of being advocates for that, because there was a lot of conversation around the resumption of the league possibly being a distraction. And, you know, I think that there are positive and negative distractions, and it's just good to see that the guys out there are aware of, you know, that fact and, you know, the role that they play in that. So very, very excited to see what the NBA does on the court and off the court going forward.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they keep this thing moving. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
What other stories we have coming in? Who are your favorites to win this thing?
You know, I'm definitely going to go with I'm pulling for the Clippers out of the West and the Bucks out of the East. I just think roster composition is going to be such a huge factor in this. I think it always is, but definitely in this, when you have the possibility of, you know, day to day, your roster may change because a guy could have a positive test and now you don't have him for 14 days. And that's going to be much more than a playoff series. So I think that both of those rosters are a little bit deeper. So I have confidence in them. How about yourself?
I'm with you. I think the Clippers out of the West, and I think the Bucks out of the East, I think the Clippers are the favorite. I mean, for me, I know in Vegas it's not that way. It's Lakers, Bucks, Clippers, I think in that order, but they're all very close. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all very close. It's not a substantial difference. I think the Clippers will beat the Lakers. I think the issue is if there's one positive test, there's probably going to be more than one, you know? So it will be, you know, hopefully, you know, they can stay clean and they can stay out and stay healthy. I like the Celtics as a long shot in the East, you know, kind of like you said, you know, if there's a single, whatever, positive test, if, you know, one player on the Bucks happens to go out, a key guy, you know, the Celtics could slip through, and even if the Bucks are healthy, the Celtics could slip through. So I like the Celtics just for their odds. I don't think they're gonna beat the Bucks, but I think with the odds, you know, they're a nice little good bet to kind of come through the East, especially given all the unpredictability.
Yeah, I agree, and I mean, surprise to none, you know, the East definitely has a little bit more unpredictability of the playoff race than the West. I think the West, we kind of have our more solidified favorites. But yeah, to your point, I mean, the Celtics are very interesting. Hopefully Kemba is able to stay healthy. They can have him out there. Brad Stevens has been kind of iffy with the information available about him. And I mean, so it's Kemba. It's kind of seemed like it's day to day. One day he's looking good. The other day he's taking off. So we'll see kind of what they look like. But yeah, I mean, they've been very strong all year. Jaylen Brown has ascended this season. Jason Tatum continues to impress and was looking very, very strong before we kind of hit the hiatus there. I mean, he was doing some incredible numbers. So you wonder if he'll be able to maintain that momentum or at least, you know, regenerate that in the bubble. Philly is another very interesting team. They were very, very strong during the regular season at home, not so much on the road, almost like they were two different teams. So you wonder what they'll look like in a neutral site. But to Philly's point, you know, you kind of got to wonder about their team. You know, they are, I think, one of the most interesting teams just in terms of their roster composition, in terms of the big names that they do have. You know, you have young stars, and I try not to play too much into the revenge narrative, but you do wonder if Joel Embiid is going to come after this a little bit harder after having really tasted that agony of defeat. I mean, the last images we have of him in a playoff setting were him in the tunnel, you know, crying his eyes out. And I think oftentimes it takes guys really suffering that anguish, that defeat, for them to really take that next step. So we all agree Embiid, when he's on, is he can be a top five guy. I mean, and it's definitely the caliber of guy who you need to win you an NBA championship. So what Embiid we get in the bubble, I think, is, in my opinion, far more interesting than necessarily what position Ben Simmons is going to play, because we know regardless the ball is going to flow through his hands. You know, kind of, it doesn't really matter where they roster him at. So what are your thoughts about Philly kind of being being in there to muck up the East title contention?
Yeah, I think they're a live team as well. And I think, you know, like you said, Simmons will be, a, you know, if they put him at Power Forward, he's still going to be playing the same way he was playing before. So they're a good team. They were not able to get it done last year. I feel like last year's team was better than this year's. Maybe not, but that's my opinion.
I agree.
So, you know, I mean, it obviously depends on how you feel about Jimmy Butler. I happen to like...
Well, you look at the Miami Heat. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you look at the Heat. I think that, yeah, Butler's a pretty good player.
So, you know, they weren't able to get it done last... look, granted, they, you know, they lost by the closest margin you could lose, but... I just don't think they get past the Bucks or the Celtics, but definitely a live underdog, and it wouldn't be a surprise if they do. They're a good team, like you said. If Embiid steps up and he's able to dominate, and Simmons is healthy, you know, they definitely have a shot against either team, and even against the team out of the West.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think they have a pretty good shot as long as everybody shows up. I guess kind of on the opposite end of title contention, but definitely in terms of relevant terms of you know, NBA buzz. So the Sacramento Kings right now are really dealing with the injury bug. I mean, we know De'Aaron Fox had an ankle injury that he was kind of working back from, but you know, news recently broke that Bagley suffered another pretty severe foot injury. I think that in the past hour or so, they said he's going to be in a boot. I'm not sure what the determined amount of time that he's going to be in that boot is for, but they said they're not going to be in any rush to bring him back. So just quickly on Bagley, I mean, the implications of this injury are definitely troubling, not even necessarily because I think that anyone was of the assumption the Kings were going to make a lot of noise in the bubble, quote unquote. But for a guy who, I mean, was drafted alongside, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, all those guys, specifically Luka and Trae, I mean, have really taken that next step, have really gotten that NBA level exposure. They're getting that run. They're making noise. They're solidifying themselves. And we have had so much hope for Bagley because of his athleticism, his prowess, his skill. And, you know, coming back from the injury he suffered earlier this year, taking the time off in the bubble to rehab, he's looking really, really strong. So this is just really, really unfortunate. I'm sure this is going to, and we'll see what he looks like when he comes back, but I'm sure this is definitely going to impact his draft stock, you know, going forward. Hopefully he's able to kind of prove any doubters wrong now, but it's hard to have confidence in a big man who has, you know, repeated foot injuries. What are your thoughts as far as Bagley goes going forward?
Yeah, I think it's been a very tough year for him injury-wise. And that's going to affect his fantasy draft stock for next year. He's a player with plenty of upside, plenty of potential. If you're in a you know, dynasty format, I wouldn't sell low on him. You know, what's the point? But, he, you know, he's somebody, if you could target and buy him low, he's worth the risk because he's got a lot of potential. He's displayed a lot of skill. He's displayed a lot of, you know, fantasy versatility. This year has been really tough, and next year, if you're in a redraft league, you're probably not going to invest too heavily, but certainly worth a late round flyer. And you know, I mean, you're going to be discouraged if you owned him this year, if you paid close attention to him this year. He kept getting injured, and it was, you know, two or three times, and it cost him a lot this year. So you know, if he comes back next year and he's good, he's healthy, he plays through the preseason, there's no issue. Definitely worth a flyer, and definitely worth being aggressive to grab him because he's got a lot of potential in the fantasy. But, you know, if he, for instance, sprains his ankle in the preseason, they go, he'll be fine for the, you know, he'll be fine for the season opener kind of a deal. that's I would immediately abandon ship. So, you know, it's like if you hear even the slightest negative report with him, I wouldn't be able to go through with that. But if it's something where, you know, he comes back next year, he looks strong, he has at least played through the preseason, he's healthy, you know, he's worth it for the risk, but there's no way you can't be, you know, you can ignore what happened this year. There's a lot of injuries, and that's going to be factored into his value moving forward unless he can, you know, stay healthy for a period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess kind of the overall message then is just kind of buyer beware, you know, do your research when it comes to Marvin Bagley, and pay attention definitely to the game notes, because any relevant news for him as far as his health is going to be very, very important, not only to the Kings roster composition, but to your fantasy roster composition potentially.
Because you just don't want to own him if he was like, he's this, comes, plays, injured, out, maybe he's coming back soon. You know, he's coming back soon enough that you don't want to drop him. Yeah, you know, it becomes a real big headache. So,
absolutely, careful. You kind of have yourselves in an Otto Porter situation. Yeah. You know, is he going to play or isn't he? When is he coming back? All right. So, our next little conversation here in regards to buying and selling, we're going to talk about a couple little hot topics. We're going to wade into the water chair. I'm going to get your opinion. Are you buying or selling the narrative here? So, we'll start from deep. Ben Simmons. Obviously, there's been conversation about his repositioning on the Philadelphia 76ers roster, running Shake Milton more at the point, Ben Simmons more at the off ball as a four. What is your level of confidence? Are you buying or selling Brett Brown's confidence in Ben Simmons taking more three-pointers? Buying or selling?
Selling.
I think that's smart.
I mean, look... they're out for a couple of months. I don't know what he's doing, you know. And I don't know. I don't think it just starts all of a sudden in the bubble. But let's see what happens. I mean, look, they may take a few more shots during the, play-in portion of the bubble, where they have basically free opportunity. You know, treat it like an extended preseason. So they may give him a little bit more action there, but I think when the playoffs start, he's not going to be doing much above what he was doing during the regular season, and behind the 3-point line.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, you do have those rare circumstances like a Brook Lopez who goes from shooting no threes to making a bunch, but more likely than not, this is going to be more of an Andre Drummond type of situation where, you know, you hear he's going to start shooting the threes, but he may shoot them. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to make a whole lot. So. I'm with you. I think I'd sell on that. All right, the next one. A lot of conversation again about the Celtics. Celtics in the possible contention for an NBA title this year. Do you have confidence in Jason Tatum as being the best player on a championship roster, buying or selling?
I buy. I think that even by next year, they can win the East. Even this year, they have a chance. But I think next year, going into the season, they may be the favorites in the East. I think he can win a championship as the best player on the team.
Yeah,
I think a window's going to open up for him over the next three seasons. He'll be in the mix.
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think over the next couple, two or three seasons, we're really going to see Tatum kind of solidify himself as, you know, the guy on a high-level NBA team. So I'm very curious to see what they look like. And again, I mean, he was really rolling as we kind of came into the break here. So very curious to see. Oh, and I guess the news actually just broke. Bagley is going to be done for the season. So we will not see him in the bubble at all. So again, keep an eye on that for the NBA's resumption next year and kind of see where he's at. But yeah, I agree with you. Tatum's looking really strong, and I'm curious to see where he takes the Celtics.
I think the Celtics get one more good piece. They'll be the favorite, and even without like a nice addition, they'll be coming in as the number two team in the East at worst. So I think he's almost there. He's almost there. If they got another great player to play alongside him, I think they could win. They could win probably even more than one championship.
Yep, I agree. All right, the Memphis Grizzlies at the end, or I guess at the hiatus for the NBA regular season, were 3.5 games above the New Orleans Pelicans. Are you buying or selling Memphis's ability to maintain in the playoffs without a play-in game?
They have to be more than four games above.
Yes.
I think there's a play-in game. And I think Portland wins it.
Yeah. How about that? I agree. I mean, I have a lot of confidence in Ja, but I just think, to your point, some of these other rosters who I think have been together a little bit longer, maybe are a little bit more interesting. Not that the Grizzlies are not interesting. I think that they've been very interesting, and that's a lot of credit to their coach, Taylor Jenkins. But yeah, I'm very curious. So tell me why you say the Trailblazers another team.
They have to. Let me look at the standing first of all, right? I mean, am I misremembering? Where Portland was what, 4 out? 3.5 out?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay. Portland's 3.5 out. Okay, so they basically have to stay even with Memphis for the bubble. Match their record. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at the schedules. You know, maybe somebody's schedule is bad, but Sacramento, they're missing a bunch of players. We don't expect them to really compete in this thing. San Antonio, they're missing a bunch of guys. They're not going to compete. Phoenix, I don't think is on their level. So it really comes down to New Orleans or Portland. And I think Portland, you know, they've played together. Lillard is going to be the best player out of everyone involved in this three-team set. And I think he took out the Nuggets last year. He took out, he dismantled the OKC franchise, right? So,
you know, absolutely.
He single-handedly literally destroyed their entire team. I mean, it's pretty, pretty incredible. You haven't seen that happen too many times. So, I like him. I think if they're the 9 seed, they have to win 2 games, though. Memphis has to win only 1, right?
Yes.
Is that how it is? Okay, so...
Yes, I believe so.
So Memphis is in a little bit better shape there because they get at least 2 chances to win, but I'll go with Portland.
Yeah, I like your point about Portland. I mean, to your point, I can't remember a guy who had a walk-off like Dame did against OKC.
It was one of the best shots I've seen, and it was demoralizing when it happened, but then it actually destroyed their franchise, you know. So it was pretty incredible.
It was. It truly was. All right. Well, to kind of close out our conversation today, I definitely want to dive into who you're kind of betting on for the NBA awards. You know, they did announce that the awards will be based on the regular season and not the remaining 8 games leading into the playoffs, which I'm curious to get your opinion on. Personally, I think that makes more sense because I think recency bias is a very real thing, and people would be more predominantly focused on the last 8 games because it's much more memorable than everybody's games in March. You know, so what are your thoughts about kind of how the NBA is structuring that?
Well, I guess the only award that it really swings. Maybe 2 of them, but the one that I think gets the most effect is the Rookie of the Year. Because I think the feeling is Jaw's going to get it. But mm-hmm. had they allowed the bubble to be part of this, I think Zion, it might have swung it to Zion. Because obviously his main issue is that he didn't play enough games. So... especially when you factor in these are the games everyone's going to remember, and you know, Memphis, especially if Memphis doesn't even end up in the playoffs, it probably could swing that award. I think the MVP will likely go to Giannis. I think it would have gone to Giannis anyway. Obviously, if the Bucks didn't win any games and the Lakers went 8-0, it would, you know, could have swung, but I think it was going to go to Giannis, it'll still go to Giannis. Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know. Will they give an award to Rudy Gobert right now? I don't think so.
That's a good question.
I don't think they would give it to him, even if he deserves it. Who would it be? Who's considered to be the favorite even?
You know, when it comes, I'm definitely with you as far as the pick for MVP. I personally think it's Giannis. There's been a lot of conversation about LeBron, you know, always. My only gripe with the conversation about LeBron in terms of legitimacy for MVP is, to your point about DPOY, the other guys in contention for DPOY would be Giannis and LeBron's teammate, Anthony Davis. So one could wonder, as great as LeBron is, are we giving not LeBron too much credit, because I think that it's hard to say you're giving one of the greatest players of all time too much credit. But are we not giving Anthony Davis the merit he deserves in terms of his effect on the Lakers and their record this season? I mean, because he's been incredible. He definitely has a legitimate case for DPOY, not as much MVP. But I think I personally would take Giannis for both DPOY and MVP, which would make him only the third player ever to do that, next to Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan. But I mean, I think when you look at his numbers, it's merited. I mean, the guy is a freak. He's insane.
Yeah, I think it would be a good candidate, and it would be very deserve those awards. I think it's, you know, Anthony Davis probably does get a little bit underappreciated. And like you said, it's not that LeBron is being overrated. He's, you know, at worst a top three player in the league, right? So he's not being overrated. He's really good, and he has a strong case to be MVP and number one guy in the league. But yeah, I mean, that the thing is, the record is not as good. You know, both players are really good, and you know, it's in those kind of splitting hairs situations. They also have a tendency to, you know, give the award to the guy that hasn't gotten it. I mean, obviously Giannis already won it last year, but you know, they tend to get bored of the same guy winning it every year, so they go away from them. So that's why I think Giannis will end up getting it. Just too many little things in his favor, and not enough really for LeBron to take it from him.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. So I think we all agree then on Rookie of the Year, Ja Morant. Off games alone, you give him the nod over Zion, because to your point, Zion, just we didn't get enough exposure to him on the court. So I would definitely say Ja, and I think, you know, Zion will be second. And I think third place, Kendrick Nunn had a pretty surprising season, especially Jimmy Butler being out of the lineup early in the season. He had a lot of run. He looked pretty strong. And I'm curious to see kind of what the Heat roster overall looks like in the bubble, because they have some pretty interesting players.
Yeah, I think the Heat are a really good team to look at, and I think leading into another award, I think Spoelstra's got to be up there for Coach of the Year. Nick Nurse,
yeah,
they really gotta. I mean, it's hard to give it to him because they won it last year, but man, what a coaching job! Nobody was expecting them to finish at number two in the East this year. I don't know, nobody, but
yeah,
not many. And then over on the West, Billy Donovan.
Yep.
And then
I think Taylor Jenkins as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned Jenkins before. I think he's also definitely should be considered.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely think both coaches in the West, I mean, talk about getting written out. I mean, nobody was talking about the only buzz about the Thunder prior to the season was how long are they going to keep Chris Paul before they trade him.
Right.
And then when you talk about the Grizzlies, I mean, that really talk about them losing Mike Conley, talk about the end of an era. And now, I mean, we didn't know that a new era was going to begin as quick as it clearly has with John Morant's arrival. So you definitely love to see that. But yeah, to your point, I mean, Nick Nurse, you lose Kawhi, you know, you win an NBA championship, but you lose Kawhi, you lose your finals MVP. And then you come out and you're able to make the adjustments with your roster. You're able to revitalize your guys
and
to get them. Yeah.
I didn't mean to finish what you're going to say.
You have to give him credit for his ability to just strategize as a coach with his roster. Just so innovative, innovative.
And they were missing their guys this year too, you know?
Yeah,
Siakam went out. Lowry was out.
Yep. Everybody. Gasol was out.
Gasol. I mean, they were injured like crazy. Really incredible job for Nick Nurse. Probably my choice. You know, I probably would give it to him. And then Donovan and Jenkins would kind of be the runners up. But
yep.
But Nick Nurse, I mean, what a job. I really all three of them, frankly, did a really, really good job.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
I mean, if you don't want to give it to Nick Nurse just because he already won the title last year, you know, they want to spread these awards out, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that.
They do.
I think Donovan and Jenkins, you know, and obviously Donovan's won a few NCAA titles, you know, so they want to give it to Jenkins so he gets some hardware. I don't know as much about his past. Maybe he was assistant coach somewhere, but, you know, if they want to give it to Jenkins just because he's the freshest guy, it's fine. But I think any three of them really, really, you know, deserves it.
Yeah, it's yeah, absolutely. We'll see if Memphis comes home with two trophies this season. So we'll see. We'll see. And then for sixth man and most improved. So sixth man, I think it's a two-man race between Montrezl Harrell and then Schroeder. In my personal opinion, and then for most improved, it depends on your definition. It depends on how you want to go with it. You know, if you want to talk about a guy who went from kind of floating on an NBA roster to being, you know, a real name, you could make a case for guys like Bam, for guys like Brandon Ingram, for even Domantas Sabonis, if you want to make a case for guys who have, you know, really taken a step from being a high-level lottery pick to a potential, you know, perennial all-star. I think guys like Jason Tatum, I think guys like Trae Young, like Luka Doncic have very strong cases. So it kind of depends on which way you want to lean in that. What are your thoughts when it comes to most improved and who are your favorites?
It's a good point you raised. It's hard. It's a really hard award to give. Like you said, there's just somebody like Luka Doncic really took a big step forward, but it was already kind of viewed as a star in the making last season. So it's like, you know, how do you assess his step forward? Whereas, like you said, Bam, and Bam was also pretty good last year, but now he would just,
yes,
I mean, he took a massive step forward. And also it's an opportunity situation where, you know, they get more minutes and they just get more opportunity. So, I think, I mean, everybody you mentioned, it would be a worthwhile winner. I like Bam. I think Bam is a good choice. He's a player that I really liked. I mean, it's hard to pick between them. I think he's a good one. I think for sixth man of the year, the two you mentioned are good. I think Lou Williams, also somebody that I like as a sixth man.
Always.
You know, but these are kind of tough choices, and there's a lot of good options. So, you know, they're not really controversial when they get picked because, you know, they've always got a good case.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you.
All right.
I think we kind of ran through it all. I mean, we'll see we'll see kind of what these games are looking like with scrimmages. Be very curious to see who is in the bubble and who is not, since we haven't gotten a whole lot of clarity on that, which is very interesting. But yeah, just really excited to be back, excited for games to get going, and can't wait to see who comes home with the chip this year.
Yep, it will be a really it's going to be a really fun ride, and it'll be exciting to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, definitely excited, and as always, glad to be back on the pod with you. Good to hear from you. We'll definitely be doing this again soon for all our listeners out there, so stay tuned.
Yeah, great to be back. I'm happy to be doing this with you. And do you have any other media coming out this week?
TBD. We will see. We'll kind of see how scrimmages shake out, and if there's any more notable or news kind of coming out, we'll have to hop back on here. But definitely stay tuned. We got a lot of content coming up for a box score breakdown to keep you guys interested and happy. So very excited.
All right, sounds good.
How about you? Got anything coming out?
I will just doing the pod. I did one of the gambling pods last week with my friend Ira, and we got into Korean baseball. So as you can imagine, the gambling opportunities are few and far between right now. So I did see an article recently that they may allow betting on heart rate. So we'll see what happens.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, got to get that fixed, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. And we will be back soon. Have a great night or day.
Thanks as always, guys. Thank you, Hank. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.